to hear what thus saith the Spirit of the living God. For your word says that your word is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing as under of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, Lord. We thank you for this, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that our hearts come open, Lord, to receive. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us to a place, Lord, a place, Lord, that we hunger and thirst, Father, for righteousness. You said that they that do that shall be filled, Lord. And so, Father, we come this day desiring to hear from heaven, Lord, desiring to hear, Father, your mandate, your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You said that faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. May it be, Lord, may our faith be increased, Lord, in you this day. And, Father, may we be full of faith. May we leave here faithful, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, I ask you to think through my mind and speak through my lips this day. I yield, I pray that as you increase, I'm trusting and I've already made up in my mind that I've decreased it in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. You are the teacher of the church. I pray that you would teach us this day, reveal unto us this day, give us revelation of knowledge, give us the insight to have oversight in our lives and in the ministry, in the realm in which you have placed us. We say to you be all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, Father, that is in Jesus' mighty name we all pray. Let everyone say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My, 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 my. What is the joy it is to be and to worship the Lord. Amen. Thank you, George, for being on the drums today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. How's everyone doing this morning? Amen. Blessed and highly favored. Amen. God has been so good to us. We turn our clocks up, amen, this morning, and we're thankful that we made it to the house of the Lord on time. Some of us was late, but it's okay. His grace is sufficient for us. You remember we talked, God gave us a revelation last week on grace, right in the middle of the message. He says, grace makes space for you, amen. See, yeah, we don't take advantage of the grace, but grace gives us space that we may get back to God. Amen. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, grace makes space. Amen. For me to get back. Amen. Not for me to leave God, but for me to get back to God. That's what grace does for me. It makes space for me. Amen. That I can come back unto my God. Aren't we so glad he's graceful unto us, that he makes some space for us. Amen. That we can make an intelligent decision. Amen. To come back to the Lord. Hallelujah. If you would please turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to be putting the book in of this this message, or this series of messages we'll be in. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23. We've been in a series of messages called Soul Winners. Soul Winners. And the Lord has been speaking to us about the importance of winning souls, the importance of sharing the good news, the gospel, with other people. His desire is of the great banquet. He says, now go. He says, go and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Amen. When he filled this house, we got to get another house. Amen. But we never want to stop the momentum of God. We want to keep the house continuing to be filled. Amen. And I'm so thankful and grateful for what the Lord has done and what he was continued to do. I want to give a shout out for three people. Amen. Frank and Sue Beeson, raise your hand. Amen. The two here. Some folks was out the other week, but they joined the church the other week. Amen. Sister Laverne Armstrong, where you at? Wave your hand. Amen. As well as her. We thank God for you. I know I've seen a sister go up and say, hey, Sister Laverne, this is your first time? She said, no, I was here a couple weeks ago, but the sister was out and God added her in the church. Ain't a God working when we're out? You know what I'm saying? When we take, he never takes a Sunday off. Amen. But we thank God, amen, that God is adding in the fruitfulness for our sister to go and say, hey, you knew, you know, and that's the way we should be. If we see somebody we don't know, we got to make a beeline over there. You hear what I'm saying? And say, who are you? Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Amen. That's the type of house that we want to be, and that's the type of house that we are. Amen. I thank God for that, and we want to continue to do that and to reach out and to love on our brothers and our sisters in Christ. You at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you would go with me to verse 23, verse 23. I got to get there. Amen. I'm over here in the, we did communion at. It was in the neighborhood. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Here we go. Hallelujah. I want you to read with me, amen, verses 23 through verse 27. Let us read together. It says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we and what? Incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it unto what subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway." Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Today I want to speak from the subject of the blessing of soul winning, the blessing of soul winning. And the blessing of soul winning is to save souls. Somebody say, to save souls. See, this is the blessing of soul winning. This is the blessing of it, is to save souls. But we're in saving souls, you're going to see that there's not only a blessing, but there is a benefit in saving souls. Not only has he commanded that unto us, he has asked us, he told his disciples, he says, when you go, he says, go. But when you go, he says, the Bible says he breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. When you go, go with power. And then he told them to go. He says, whoever sins you remit, you remit. Whoever sins you retain, you retain. But he says, go, go with power and go to what? To deliver. And so we know that he commanded his disciples to go. And this is what the Lord is speaking to us in this hour and in this time, is that it's time to go. And it's always been time to go. You know, it's time to go. I've come to realize I don't know how much more time that I have in the earth. No matter how long the earth may last, but I only have been appointed a certain time in here. And I got to maximize my time in here. You hear what I'm saying? What I'm saying, if nobody else is doing it, I still got to do it, because I don't know the day when he going to carry me up out of here. Amen. I don't know. Look, what the Bible said, Enoch was not. Amen. Look, one day he just may say, it's time to take Pastor Eric on up out of here. Amen. To go on to be with glory. But I want to be like Paul said, I fought the good fight of faith. I finished my course. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what all of us want to be like, that when it's our time, and we don't know the time nor the day, but we do know he's coming. And if he don't come before we come back, well, you better know you're going. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you go, you want to be able to say, I fought the good fight of faith. Amen. And it's laid up for me now, amen, to receive my crown of righteousness that he has for me. And he has all for, so for those that love him as well. So it's not just for Paul, it's for all of us, a crown of righteousness that he desires to give unto us. Just by way of passing review, we know our first message was the business of soul winning. Amen. The business of soul winning. We say the business of soul winning is what? Catching men, the fishermen of men. And we've learned that before we catch anybody else, we got to be caught ourselves. Amen. And we've seen that Jesus Christ, we see that he takes people out to the deep. When he take them out to the deep, he shows them what they're dependent upon, and then he reveals that he is their deliverer. Amen. And we're so thankful for this. So everybody say, I thank you, Father, that I have been caught. Now I'm qualified to catch other people for you. Amen. So this was the business of soul winning. It was, he says, now I'm going to make you, instead of a catchers of fish, I'm going to make you a catchers of men now. And we know he took Peter, he took James and John, and they left their father and they followed him. Not only that, he went, got Matthew. He says, Matthew, come follow me. Matthew dropped everything, has been a tax collector, didn't say anything, but he followed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is our desire. If we're going to be soul winners, we got to be following him. We must be following him. And it is his desire that we win souls. So we know that he commissioned his disciples. He says, go, go with power and go to deliver. The second message that we had was the burden of soul winning. The burden of soul winning. And you look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're in this text. Look at verse 16. He says, for though I preach the gospel He says, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. See, this is the burden, that necessity is laid upon me. What he's saying is, I had no other choice in this matter. This thing has been put up on me. And when you have come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only that, but you have crowned him as your Lord. See, you have no other choice but to tell somebody about the goodness of God. He says necessity. See, because he had been called, had he not, Paul, Saul, had been called. His name had been changed to Paul, and now he was preaching the gospel. He was the gospel globetrotter, preaching all over the world. And then he says, I don't do this for my glory. He says, no, but necessity has been laid up upon me. He says, rather, if I get an amen or not, I got to do this thing. He says, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. And this is the mindset and the attitude that he wants all of us to have. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. I got to tell somebody about this thing, about the goodness of our Lord. So that's the burden of soul winning. The third message, one that the last time we were in the house, was the behavior of the soul winner. What's the behavior? If I know the business of it and I know the burden of it, but what's the behavior? See, as we have said here, with the burden of the soul winner is to go out and to say, I got to preach the gospel. But to see, but the behavior of the soul winner is that you just don't preach it once. You keep preaching it. Amen. So the burden of the soul winner, or the behavior of the soul winner, is to gain more. Somebody say, gain more. What I'm saying unto you, if we fill every seat in this house, we still want more. We ain't going to let back. We ain't going to let it down. We ain't going to do it. No, if they have to stand in line to get into the door, if we have to stand the men upside the wall, amen. I remember the testimony of my pastor, amen. He said when they first started out, he said, man, the place was so small. He said what they had to do, the place got so crowded so quick, they had to have the men to stand up against the wall so the ladies could sit down, amen, during the service. See, most of us say, well, I'm going somewhere else if that start happening. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what we did. Nah, that, nah, I got to be comfortable. But I'm here to tell you, amen. I believe it was like this in the Lord's day. I remember the brother that was sitting in the window. Well, why was he sitting in the wonder? I got to believe maybe there wasn't somewhere else for him to sit. He was sitting in the wonder, amen, and preaching was going on. The brother fell out the wonder. he fell clean out the wonder. So that had to tell me it was tight up in there. That brother sitting up in the wonder, amen. Last thing I'd do is go to sleep in the wonder, though. My God. That was some long preaching going on there, wasn't it? Amen. Had to raise that brother up from the dead. Amen. My. But we see here, look with me here at verse 19 in this same text here, 1 Corinthians 9 and 19, because this is the behavior of the soul winner. He says, for though I be free from all men, he said, I don't owe man anything. He says, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself, somebody say, servant unto all, that I might what? Gain the more. Oh my God. I've made myself servant that I might gain the more. Amen. And we know what he goes on. Now, we went through this the other week. He says, to the Jew, I became a Jew that I might gain the Jews. Amen. He says, to those under the law, that I might gain them that were under the law. To them without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. Then verse 22, he says, to the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things what to all men, that I might by all means do what? Save some. He said, I'm going to become all things to all men that I might save some. And so this is the behavior of a soul winner, is to gain more. See, there's never enough souls, amen. I mean, we got to continue to go out and continue to reach and continue to share the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this brings us to the text of Scripture in verse 23 here, where we're going to speak on the blessing of soul winning, that we see the blessing of soul winning here. It says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. He says, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers there. He says, somebody say partaker. With you. Now, this is interesting. He says, this I do for the gospel's sake. What he's saying is, Apostle Paul, he's explaining that he has become all things unto all people that he might win some. And the reason why he's doing that is for the gospel's sake. He's doing that for the gospel's sake. But then here go one of the benefits of the blessing of soul winning. He said that I may be a partaker with you. And what he was saying here about being a partaker with them, that he may receive of the blessing of seeing someone else come to Christ. That he may, so to be a, he said, I want to be a partaker. It's a, see, this is the blessing of soul winning, to be a partaker of it. He says, see what you must understand, that we all must be excited when someone comes to Jesus. And what Paul is saying here, he says, I do what I do for the gospel's sake, but I also do it that I may receive, or I may be a partaker of what they're going to receive. He said, look, I'm a partaker of their salvation. What he's saying is, I get to rejoice, number one, in the response of someone coming to the Lord. Oh my God. I don't know about you. I know when I came to the Lord, amen, I was excited. Now, we used to worship in a house of the Lord when somebody came to the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Angela. Amen. I came down here just for that. amen. It's my helpmate there. Amen. Amen. The thing that I understand is this. There used to be a place that we used to worship at, and when somebody got saved, they go ring the bell. Used to be a bell sitting over in the corner, yeah. And when somebody gave their life to the Lord, they go ring the bell, man. You see what I'm saying? And see, and what we were doing when somebody else got saved, we were partakers of it. Amen. We were seeing them. See, we were part, and Paul was excited. Paul said one of the blessings of being a soul winner is that you get to be a partaker of somebody else's salvation. You get to see them saved. Amen. And the Bible tells us, he says, when one person gets saved, all of heaven is rejoicing. So if the heaven is going to rejoice, amen, the earth need to be doing something. Look, at least the people that are called God's children in the earth should be excited. So I'm here to tell you, church, if anyone, when you see anyone come to this thing to give their life to the Christ, amen, when you see it, the whole house should jump up and get excited about it, amen. Yeah, oh, yeah, because, look, souls are more valuable than money to God. You need to hear this thing. Thank God we get excited about giving, and we should get excited about giving. But the highest level of giving is giving your life. Oh, my God. And so souls are valuable unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Paul said, I'm a partaker of this thing. He says, I do it for the gospel's sake, amen, that I preach. I do what I become all things to all men for the gospel's sake, that they may hear the gospel, that some, that we may gain the more. But he said his blessing in this is that I get to be a partaker of it, amen. The partaker of them getting saved. It's exciting to see someone come to the Lord. I don't know about you. I remember when I came to the Lord, man. And it was such a joy, amen, to come and to know that I can come out of that old life and that I was a new creature in Christ. Old things were passed away, and behold, all things become new. See, sometimes you got to get excited for someone else because they might not know what just happened to them. Oh, my God. You got to be excited for them, amen. Let them know that all of heaven and the earth is rejoicing because you've made an intelligent decision and your life is never going to be the same, amen. And thank God that we can be partakers of that when we lead someone or help someone or be a witness to someone giving their lives unto the Lord here. Amen. I want you to turn over real quick, and we're going to come back. Hold your place here. Put your thread, amen. Whatever you got, put it right there, amen. We're going to go over to the gospel according to St. Luke. I think it's Luke 15 here because I want us to see this. I spoke of this earlier. But it bears us going over to take a look at it. Luke chapter 15. And when you get over the 15, please go to verse 1. 15 and 1 here. We're talking about soul winners. The blessing of soul winners is the first thing we say is to be a partaker thereof. Amen. To be a partaker thereof and to rejoice. And I want you to see here that how Jesus Christ were meeting in. He was really sitting down with the sinners, and you're going to see what the religious folks have done here. Look what it says here, 15 and 1. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans. Somebody say the publicans. Now, that's not the Republicans, okay? That's the publicans, amen. It says, then draw near unto him all the publicans and say the sinners. Now, you know what a sinner is, right? A sinner is someone that missed the mark. Somebody say missed the mark. Now, let me tell you something. You could be saved and miss the mark. You could be saved and commit sin, and then you are a sinner. Amen. Amen. He says, he drew near to all the publicans and the sinners, those that missed the mark. He says, for to hear him. So the publicans are the tax collectors or the people that receive public revenue, okay? And then he says, and the Pharisees and the scribes. So now you see he's sitting there, and the people that drew not near to him was the publicans and the sinners. And those are the folks, amen, if they drew near to Jesus, they should be drawing nigh to us. You know what I'm saying? See, the tax collectors back those days were known to be crooked. You know what I'm saying? So and then he said the publicans and also, and they were hated too. No one liked the tax collectors. It's the same way today. We don't like them folk IRS taking my money. Yeah, we like somebody. We got some government folk in the house. We got a couple government people in the house. We love y'all. We don't hate anybody. We love everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. But we got to do what's right. Amen. You got to do what's right according to this. But the publicans here, but not only, there was another group of people that came around. Verse 2 says, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. They murmured because Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God, was meeting with the publicans and the sinners. And then the it says the Pharisees. The Pharisees, see, they were separatists. They were separated ones. Somebody said separated ones. See, we're the church. There's difference. See, the Pharisees were very religious people. They loved God, but they were extremists. That is what they were. They were very extremists, and they were rigid, and they were critical of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we see the Pharisees, they separatists, they are separated ones, but we're the church. We're the ecclesia. Somebody say called out ones. See, we didn't separate ourselves. He called us out. And see, the Pharisees, the religious folk, they separate themselves. You know what I'm saying? We're better than everybody else. And we keep account of what everybody's doing and what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing in the church and outside the church. Extremists of these type of people. But they were there. And it says the scribes. The scribes were like the secretaries, the town clerks. They wrote much of the writings of the word. But it says the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Let me tell you something. When we start receiving sinners, and we're going to be receiving sinners, why? That their life may change. That we can what? Preach the gospel unto them so that they can be saved. But once you start receiving sinners, I'm telling religious folks, don't like a whole bunch of sinners coming. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, look, yeah. See, you don't know who you are until a sinner get around you. Particularly when they come into this house, amen. And so our desire as the church of God, we want to see the sinners come. If the publicans, amen, and also the sinners came to Jesus, why should they not come to us, amen? If Jesus is on the inside, working on the outside, oh, what a change in my life. And so the same people that were a magnet, like a magnet to a metal to Jesus, should be the same people like a magnet and metal to us. And see, they're coming because they see the righteousness of God upon us. They see the light. They're in the dark and they see the light. And if I'm in the dark and I see the light, guess where I'm headed to? I'm going to the light because I want to get to the light. And so you got to understand that's why they're going to be drawn. They ain't going to be drawn because they want to know you and what you got and where you live at and all of that stuff. No, they need to be drawn to the Jesus that's up on the inside of us. And so Jesus was that type of man. He was the God man. He is the man, the mediator between God and man. And it is the man, amen, Christ Jesus. And so he was drawing people unto him that they may, amen, have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And this is the same thing that we want as soul winners. But when you are a soul winner, not only will you bring the publicans and the sinners, but the Pharisees and the scribes going to show up as well with their glasses down, looking at you and talking about what you're doing, talking to them and hanging out with them. That's when you know you got a religious person around. The Bible, the Bible show you who religious, amen? So it goes on to say verse 3, and then it says, and he spake this parable unto them. So Jesus said, all right, since all of you showed up, I'm getting ready to break all of you down, amen? I'm getting ready to deal with everybody, amen, with this message. So we know a parable is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. So he's getting ready to give them this story that's in the natural, but it has a supernatural connotation to it. Amen. He's going to tell them an earthly story so that he can reveal heaven unto them. Amen. And so the first thing that he deals with here, he's going to deal with three different things. But look here at verse 4. He deals with the lost sheep. Somebody say the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Now look what he says here. He says, now what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And then he asks the question. He posing this question to all of them. He says, and when he have found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. Somebody say rejoicing. He says, rejoicing, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. So he's given to them in a livestock example. Now, isn't this interesting when he called this banquet? You remember when he called the great banquet? He says, now, servant, go out and compel them to come into my house and my house before. The very first man said, no, I got to go check on my oxen. I got to go check on my oxen. Can I be excused from the meeting here? Jesus Christ, he's breaking them down where their hearts are, because he sent them to go get the lost sheep of Israel. So he's dealing with his lost sheep, and he's also dealing with religious folk. He said, now, let me break this on down to you now. He said, now, if a man has lost his sheep, amen. And he said, if a man has lost his sheep, he said, will not he leave the 99 and go after the one? And when he found him, amen, he going to rejoice in it, amen. And then he going to lay him up on his shoulder. See, that's what happened when you have a wounded sheep. When a pastor has a, when you're willing to be pastor, sometimes the pastor got to break the leg of the sheep. Oh, my God. See, that's folks that's in the house of God acting unruly, doing what you want to do. That's when the pastor got to give you some pastoral counsel and break one of those bones. But when the pastor breaks the bone, he has the high obligation. Now, what he got to do? He got to carry that sheep for a little while. And see, this is what happened. See, that was a sheep that didn't want to come up under the rod. You know what I'm saying? So it went out on its own. But because he had the heart of the Father, you know what I'm saying? He said, I'm going to leave the 99 that look like that's safe, and I'm going to go after the one and get this one. And see, this is the blessing of soul winner, that I'm going to partake in this thing. I bet you that sheep was so excited when he seen the shepherd. I believe he was excited that I'm out here alone. Don't know if I'm going to make it tonight. Don't know if something's going to come and eat me and overtake me. Thank God for my shepherd. The shepherd said, now I got to take you. And because when he found him, I bet you he was exhausted. This is the way Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, when Jesus Christ, he went about cities and villages healing and saving. We're going to go over there today. And this is what he said. But when he seen the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, because they looked like what? Sheep. Without a shepherd. Amen. And so and Jesus was moved, and Jesus had to do something. He had to, that changed his ministry when he looked at them and seen the lion. It's the same way with this sheep. So he picked this sheep up. He bring it back, and he called his neighbors and his friends. Come on over here and rejoice with me. Now, what Jesus is showing them, he says, now, if y'all will do that in the natural, I'm going to show you what heaven is doing over one person that give their life to Jesus. Look what it says here in verse 7. He said, I say unto you that likewise, or as such, he says, likewise, joy shall be what? In heaven over one sinner that does what? Repenteth more than over what? 99 just or righteous persons which need no repentance. Oh, my God. So, Pastor, why we got to go and win others? Look, if it's just one other one. I mean, one at a time. Let's just win them. One at a time. Amen. Just one at a time. Just one. Let that be your plan. Just one. Lord, just give me one a week. Amen. Give me one a week. I mean, that's starting to be my confession. Amen, Lord. Look, give me one a week, Lord. Bring somebody that needs to know you, Lord. Just give us one a week. Give us one family a month in the house of God. We believe in God. I'm talking about sinners. I'm talking about nobody. People that are separated from God. Amen. And because we want to have a heart, and this is a heart of a soul winner, and the blessing of the soul winner is to save souls. So let's look here at the lost coin. Verse 8, it says, either what woman have 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, do not she light a candle. I thought about this, boy. I thought about how y'all ladies lose your earrings. Just lose one of them. Y'all gonna tear the house up. They look. Let me tell you. I hear what you're saying, but it's all about what value you place on them. If they valuable, you're gonna look for them puppies. Yes, sir. You're gonna look for them if they're valuable. And said, this is what I'm trying to show you here. See, it's the sheep that he's talking about, the sheep and the coin. It's the value. Oh, Lord. See, you ain't gonna go win souls until you put a value on a lost soul. On a lost soul. It's the value that you put on something. It might not be worth anything to anybody. It might not cost you anything, but because somebody gave it to you, you put some value on it.
And when you put some value on you, by golly, you're going to go look for it. Yeah. You're going to tear up some stuff. Amen. And this is what, there was value on this sheep. There was value on this coin. This coin, look, she lost one. It might have been a set in that one. Just like that earring. If it's valuable to you, oh, you're going to look for it. So you're going to look for it. Amen. Yes, sir. I done seen them looking. Amen. How they going to look for them? Every now and then I pick up an earring around here. I say, oh, Lord, somebody left their earring. But he said he's dealing with this coin here and the attitude that this woman had. Again, an earthly story. Amen. That's going to teach us a very valuable lesson in heaven. He says, now, look at, he goes on to say, verse 9, and when she had found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, what? Rejoice with me, for I have found the place which I had lost, amen, or the peace in which I have lost. Verse 10, he says, likewise. Now, he's showing this, again, contrary or showing it in parallel to what goes on in heaven. He says, likewise, I say unto you, there is what? Joy in the presence of the angels of God, amen, over what? The sinner that repenteth. Now, this word repenteth is an interesting thing here because we said that it means what? To think differently, amen. And to reconsider, amen, and also to change your mind, to think differently, to reconsider and to change your mind. People that repent, amen. So thank God that we are saved, amen. But even after our salvation, we walk this thing out. We will, if you grow in the things of God, you're going to realize you got to repent of some things. You have been saved from all things, but there are some things that you're going to have to repent of. Because even after you get saved, you got to get your thinking right. Amen. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the tender mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice unto God, which is holy and acceptable unto him. Amen. Which is your reasonable act of service. Amen. And then he says, renewed where? In your mind. So even after you get saved by presenting your body and giving yourself, there got to be a renewing in your mind. So after you get saved, the Bible says, confess your sins unto God, and he's faithful and just to do what? Forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So there's some things that you got to confess, but there's some other things you got to repent of. Oh, my God. Yes, sir. There's some other things I got to change my mind about, and I got to think differently about it. Amen. There's some things I got to do because, see, you're not going to really change your walk until you change your thinking. Somebody done got saved and they still walking wrong because you ain't changed your thinking yet. And so I got to repent of some things. And see, you don't repent of everything. Just repent of as he bring it to you. Amen. Little by little, he'll bring it to you. He said, yeah, you got to get right in that area right there. Yeah. You're going on. And just, it's a changing of your mind. I just got to think differently about that. Amen. And if you understand this, this is no condemnation on anyone. This is why you need to stay in the word of God. Because when you stay in the word of God, it's going to cause you to think differently. It's going to cause you to look at certain things and say, you ain't all right like you think you all right. And I'm telling you guys that we got to stay humbled. We got to stay humbled as the people of God because look, don't you think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Amen. Because he done dealt to every man. Everybody got the same measure of faith. Everybody might not be exercising their faith, but he done dealt to everybody the same measure of faith. Boy, when you understand how God has been graceful and merciful to you, you'll learn how to reciprocate that. You might be ahead of somebody, but you look, don't. And the worst thing you want to do, I'm giving you this is pastoral right here. Don't you ever compare yourself to anybody else about where you are in your walk. Don't you ever do that, because people are different on different journeys. Amen. They everybody running their race. And he said, look, he said, when you run it, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily entangles you. And then he says, with patience, run the race that has been marked out for you. See, you can't judge nobody and have them to run your race. Nah, let them run their race and you run your race. Amen. And when you run your race, you give them grace to run their race, because God giving you grace to run your race. Amen. I know that I'm on somebody's doorstep. I'm knocking on somebody's door today. I'm telling you, we better understand grace and mercy. We got to understand this thing. We got to understand this. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's given an example here that if we're going to be soul winners, we got to go to the gutters. We got to go out of the way. We got to go get them. If we look, sometimes God will take you out of the way just to take you out of the way. He'll slow you up. He'll delay you. He'll do something. And you got to understand it ain't about you. It's all about him. And he'll bring somebody across your path. You might be saying, I got to get somewhere. God, bring somebody across your path. What you don't understand, he don't want you to get there. He wants you to get right here. Amen. I'm talking about right there for that assignment, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be to go to after someone. I'm not going to go deal with the lost son, but you know the story of the lost son. The lost son, the Bible says that he took all his substance. This is the way he said. He took all his, he wasted his substance. Amen. He took his stuff and said, Lord, Dad, give me my stuff. And the Bible says he wasted all of his substance. I always tell folks that's the first case of substance abuse. Amen. He wasted all his substance. He wasted what his daddy gave to him. And he woke up one day in the pigsty. That's what he said. And he thought about how the servants, the doorkeepers, were getting treated in his father's house. He said, look, I'm going to go back to my daddy's house just to be a doorkeeper. Just to be a doorkeeper. So he came back. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. And I'm back here to get my life right with you. And you know what the father said? The father said, man, break out the fatted calf. Get him the robe and the ring. Get him the best shoes. Amen. Because we get ready to have a party. And this is how he wraps it up. Look at verse 23. Yes, Luke 15 and 20. Look at 22. It says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and socks on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let the let us what eat and what be merry. Amen. He's talking about to be glad. And then it says, verse 24, for this is my son. Amen. For this my son was dead and now he is alive again. He was what lost is and is found. And they begin what to be merry. Amen. And so this is what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is telling us. It's wise that we win souls. It's wise. He says, he that wins souls is wise. And when we win souls, we become the partakers thereof. Amen. Of the salvation. We get to rejoice with the angels of the one that has been saved. Amen. And so the Lord wants us to have the right heart about this. So not only do we win souls, to receive the blessing of the soul winning, to be a partaker thereof. But it is also that we might receive a crown. Somebody say, receive a crown. Go back over to the text that we were at, and I want you to see this other piece here. And then we're going to go one more place, and we're going to close out there, I believe. Amen. Hallelujah. We see what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Amen. Somebody say, to obtain a prize. Look what he says here. We're back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm sorry, and look down at verse 23 again. He says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. So we dealt with the partaker thereof, amen, the partaker thereof with you. Look at 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Somebody say, obtain the prize. So that's the second thing here is that, you know, the blessing of soul winning, not only is that we may be partakers thereof, but that we may obtain the prize, George. We're going to obtain the prize. And the prize, if we go on here, we see here, verse 25, and every man that striveth for mastery is, say, temperate. That means self-control in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a what? A corruptible crown, but we what? A incorruptible crown. He says, we do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. He says, I therefore shall run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body up under. I keep my body. And bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now think what he's talking about here. He says, now, because this life is about a race. We have gotten in on the race. This is why I said it earlier, Hebrews 12 and 2. Lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily entangles you. Amen. And then it says to run with patience the race that has been laid out before you. The race that you got to run. Now, what Paul was doing, Paul was saying, I become all things to all people that I may get them in this race. But in the race, we want all of them to win. He says, when you run, run to win. But he says, if you're going to win, you got to get yourself in shape. Yeah, that's what he's saying here. He said, you got to get yourself in shape. He said, you got to get yourself in shape. And so the Lord been dealing with me about getting the body in shape. Not only myself, but the body he has put me responsible over. This body here. Amen. And I know that we know, if you've been around the Bread of Life for long enough, you know a whole bunch of word. The thing of it is who you telling about the word. Amen. Look, you should have had at least 10 knots on your belt. What you saying, Pastor? I mean, how many folks have come to salvation through your testimony? Through you telling them about Jesus? I know this is tight. Amen. But it's right. Amen. And many times when we can't tell anybody about anything that we're not excited about. At least I don't. And if he ain't delivered me, he can't deliver them. So we all got reasons why we do what we do. But what I'm saying to you here, what Paul is saying, and if you're going to do what you're supposed to do as a believer, you got to strive for mastery. It's just like the folks that went over to the Olympics. They just decided to show up and they were going to run for a medal. Now, they had to go through some things and they had to say, all right, I'm going, that boy over, the young man over in over in Indiana that won the bronze medal. I guarantee you he won at Skyline Chili every Friday.
That's right.
You hear what I'm saying? He had to separate himself from some things. And so Paul was saying here, Paul said, everybody else ain't got to get right. I got to keep my own body up under subjection. And this is what he said. He said that this is why I got to keep my own body up under today. He says I got to beat my own body under shape. So it will do what it's supposed to do and won't do what it want to do. And what I'm saying to you, look, your flesh and blood don't want to save nobody. Your flesh and blood don't want to bring nobody to Christ. So you got to put that thing under. You got to put your emotions to sleep. You got to put your feeling. You got to put all that to sleep. And you got to understand that I'm working on my incorruptible crown. And that's to win other. I'm a soul winner. I'm a soul winner. Now, this is what he said. He said, if I don't do this, what'll happen is I'll get people into the race. And at the end, I'll be disqualified. I'll be a castaway. I will no longer be. I get it. Look. What did it be? You get people into the kingdom, and then you get put outside of it because you couldn't keep your body up under subjection. It won't your brother or your sister. It won't the church. It won't all that. He said, "No, I got to beat my body. I got to keep my body up under. I got to take care of my flesh, myself." So that in the end, when I won't be a castaway, I won't be standing on the outside looking on the inside. No, he said, I don't want to be that way. So he said, I got to bring, if I'm going to obtain my crown, there's some things I got to do. I got to do this thing right. I can't be saving people and going out to people and my life is not right. My life is wrong. My life has to be right. And the only way we get right, because there's no righteousness in us in and of our own selves. We all have to be dependent upon Jesus, the righteousness of God. That's why we say it's all about him. Amen. It's all about him. I want to read this scripture to you. And then we're going to go to this last text of scripture and we're going to close. I want to read James 5:20 to you. Matter of fact, let's just turn there. I want you to see this because I want you to understand the importance here of soul winning. Amen. The blessing of soul winning. The book of James. If you find Hebrews, amen, go to your right where you're at. Find Hebrews is on the other side of Hebrews. James. And when you go to James, please go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 20 here. Pastor Angel and I are having a blessed opportunity to walk with a couple. And we either one or two a year, we normally do this, that are planning on getting married. And one of the things that we do in our pre-merge counseling here is that we go, we do what we call a family profile. And then we do a personal profile because they really need to understand, because things move from generation to generation to generation. And if they don't understand that, they'll get married and be dealing with generational things. And so we want to be able to discover the generational things, amen, and put them at bay. in our lives. What I'm saying to you is this: if you be a soul generation, a soul winner in your generation, your children will be soul winners. I'm telling you, just like evil, like it says, sin goes from one generation to another. It's the same way. If God is saying evil gonna go that way, what you think righteousness and faith gonna do? It's the same way. This is why you see some of these preachers, they can tear a house up preaching. It ain't because they necessarily they're living right all the time. It's because they come from a long line of preachers. You hear what I'm saying? They know how to preach. It ain't saying that they're living right, but they know how to preach. Amen. But we got to have the righteousness of God with this. But what I'm saying is, when we do right, when we do what's right for God, God, we set a right path for our children. Oh, my God. God rewards you when you go save souls, when you convert someone else. It's a blessing that comes upon you, your house, and the generations that are to come. Amen. We usually find out that they say, what, the fruit don't fall. That's a worldly saying. The fruit don't fall too far from the tree. Amen. And I've over my years, I've looked and seen and say, yeah, that's been about true. So you can see a child and see the attitude that they had. And when you meet the parents, you look, you ain't even got to look for it. You already know that's where it came from. It's such a joy. Sometimes, you know, we be dealing with our kids and we be like, oh, God, they brought the boy. Oh, Jesus. And then you meet somebody and tell you they such the nicest kids. What in the world? What in the world, y'all? They playing us. So got me on my knees and everything. Oh, they such kind and nice and so considerate children. They're so unlike the other children of this generation. What? Which one you talking about, man? You must got me mixed up with somebody. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is that this goes from generation to generation. If you are a soul winner in your generation, I'm here to tell your children are going to pick this thing up. They'll run. They'll get ready in that race that you've been running. Are you at James chapter 5, verse 20? Let's go up one. Look at verse 19. It says, brethren. Let's say brethren. Somebody say brethren. Brethren. He's speaking to saved folk, is it not? He says, brethren, if any of you do error, amen, error from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save what? A soul from death, and shall hide what? A multitude of sin. So he says, let him know that he that converteth the sinner. See, converted the sinner. The sinner that were converted here, they have deviated. I mean, that not converted, but he says they do error. They have deviated. They've gotten off course for the race that has been laid out. They're off their error. He says, now, you brothers which are spiritual, amen. He says, now you bring them, convert them, get them back on the course. Amen. So what I'm saying unto you, when we talk about souls being saved, we're not just talking about those that are away from the Lord, that are that do not know the Lord. There are the saints, amen, that are away from the Lord. They've gotten off course. They've erred in their ways. Amen. They've gotten on another path. They're doing their own thing. They've isolated themselves. They're away from the house of God. They're doing their thing. Those people also are people, amen, that are like that sheep that's gone astray, that we got to go, that lost corn, amen, the lost son. We got to go get them as well. Amen. Because God has a place for them in his house as well. Amen. And so what I'm saying is there are a lot of people that are away from the church that know the Lord and used to be in this house through hurt, harm, or hang up, whatever it may be, they are out there. Amen. And so they're looking at your light shine too. Amen. See, but what you got to understand, they got an inside job. Amen. They know if you ain't living right. And not only that, what I like about the world, this is what I really like about the world. I ain't got no problem getting out in the world. Amen. But if you ain't right, the world gonna know you not right. I used to say, you can't trick a tricker. Oh my God. Them boys in the world, look, if you ain't rolling right, they know you ain't rolling right. They know you crooked. Look, they know you just as crooked as they are. They know that. I mean, like spirits pick up on those types of things. And they understand and they know these types of things here. Now, one of the things that the Lord has been dealing with me with personally is, Lord, how do we take your ministry to the multitudes? How do we take your ministry to the multitudes? And he began to speak to me. He said, son, you got to have a ministry moment. And you got to have a ministry moment, and your ministry moment got to be that you see the same things that I see. And when you see the same things that I see, you have the same compassion that I have, then you'll be ready to move the ministry to a movement. But you got to have that moment in your life. And it's the same thing as us as individuals here. You may be saved. And yes, you're living for the Lord. But you know that there's more in store. You know you can take it to a whole nother level. See, you got to have your moment. And when you have the moment, you begin to see like God sees. And then the righteousness and then salvation will become a movement in your life. It'll move from salvation and it'll move with crowning him as Lord of your life. And what you're saying, I'm withholding nothing, as the psalmist said this morning. I'm withholding nothing. I'm surrendering all. I'm saying, yes, it's all about him. Whatever you put it all, cook it all up together. Say, I'm going for him. But you got to have a moment in your life. Amen. We're going to close over here in the book of Matthew. I'm going to show you this in the word. Because Jesus Christ, go to the book of Matthew. And this is where we're going to end at. The gospel according to St. Matthew. I believe we're going to get over to Matthew chapter 9. Yes, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And we're going to, this is the last place I'm going to be. And we're going to, I want you to see this. And I want you to have an understanding of this. Because the Lord has been dealing with me. You've heard me say that what's going on in the lives out there in the streets, a program not going to do it. And thank God for programs. We need programs and we need those types of things. But where we're at in the time that we live in, we need a movement. I could think about, you know, you think about different people in time in the natural. Martin Luther King, I imagine that he has something in his heart. And I believe that the Lord put it there. He's seen that people were being harassed. People were not being treated properly. A man wasn't being recognized even as a man of color. And I believe Martin Luther King, I believe that he's seen that. And he started out on this journey. But I believe somewhere along the way, he said, this thing is so large. I believe he had his moment, too, that how he had to take that thing from a personal thing and or a private thing in his heart and make it public. You hear what I'm saying? He had to move it from just a personal ministry to a revolution. Amen. To a movement. And we know that when it became a movement, it could not be stopped even after his death. And that's what I'm saying to all of us. Amen. That what we got to do in our lives. That it has to become a movement that even after we gone, it's still going to go on through your family. Oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? It's still, look, when I'm dead and gone, amen. The movement that I started in my family, amen, is going to continue to go on through my children. You hear that? For generation to generation, amen. But I got to have my moment. And I got to have my moment when I say enough is enough. Amen. I don't care what everybody else is doing, all this, that, and the other, but I'm getting ready to get this thing together because I got to start a movement in my realm, in the realm that I got. I got to start a movement. Amen. Because I've been put on, and I only got so much time. And the time that I got, it can't be a private thing no longer. It can't be a personal thing. It got to go public. Amen. You ever hear these little businesses and stuff? They stay private for so long, but sooner or later, they got to go public. Amen. And what I'm saying to you about your faith, sooner or later, you got to go public. Amen. But you got to have your moment. You got to have your moment. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he always had a public ministry, but he had to move that ministry, amen, from what it was. He had to see this thing blow up if it was going to accomplish the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was for him to reconcile mankind back unto his heavenly Father. And he only had 33 years down here on the earth to do that. You hear what I'm saying? And he got somewhere in his ministry, he realized that when he grew up, sooner or later, he said, man, I got to get somebody to help me in this assignment that I got. What did he do? He got some disciples, did he not? He went and got Peter, James, John, Andrew. He got all of them. And he got them. And then he began to show them how he was doing ministry. But then one day it says that he saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. I want us to see this here. You're at Matthew chapter 9. Look at verse 35 here. And this is where we're going to close. We're going to close here in this text. I want you to see this because wherever you're at, personally, in your walk with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord thy God, he wants not only the bread of life, but he wants the people in the bread of life. He says, time to go public. You hear what I'm saying? It's time, amen, to take this ministry and turn it into a movement, amen. It's time for the soldiers to get out the swords and pull out the pistols. You hear what I'm saying? I'm here to tell you, man, we can go into hell. I'm here to tell you with a water gun and come out with victory. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, because we've been given that power. He says, I've given to you power over serpents and over scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall be able to harm you. He said, what you waiting on? What you waiting on to take this thing to a movement, Pastor? He said, you got to get the people in shape. They got to bring their bodies up under subjection. They got to say, not my will, but his will. Amen. They got to be willing to lay it all down. We got to stop believing these songs that we're singing. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that we don't. What I'm saying is we got to start walking them out. But thank God we're singing them. Thank God we're swaying in here and moving and everything. But it's time to put the shoe leather, amen, to the pavement. Amen. It's time to get somebody saved on your job. Everywhere you go, amen, to tell somebody about Jesus. And I always tell folks that you can tell people about Jesus three different ways: by your lips, your leadership, or your lifestyle. And the lips should be the last thing that you have to use. Amen. Your leadership and your lifestyle, just how you carry yourself, just how you walk your walk and talk your talk. Your leadership, amen, where you're around people, how you're leading, amen, how you're living, amen. Your lifestyle, your leadership. And the last thing you're going to have to use is your lips, amen. And when you get ready to use your lips, it should be get ready to save them, amen. Get ready to bring them to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we see here Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. We're talking about the saving of souls, the blessing of the saving of souls, that I can be a partaker, not only a partaker, but I can obtain my incorruptible crown. I can attain my prize, but I got to run my race to win it, man. I got to win it, and I got to bring my body up under subjection. So we see Jesus here, and it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Somebody say his ministry. His ministry must be our ministry. What about my ministry? No, your ministry is his ministry. What ministry you talking? You ain't got no ministry. It's all about him. Oh, my God. Well, this is my ministry. No. Your ministry is his ministry. You should be hid in him. Your ministry should get caught all up in what he doing. And this is his ministry. His ministry say he went about the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Somebody say, but. See, that's his ministry, but he had to have his moment. But it says, but. He was doing ministry. Folk were getting saved. He going up in villages. He going up in synagogues. He's preaching. He teaching. He healing folk. But we have in churches that have had great worship. Amen. We're in a great house of God, that we love one another and everything is going well. We thank God for everyone that is here. But. But. There's multitudes still out there. Look what he says here. You got to have your moment. But when he saw the multitudes. See, your moment becomes when you start seeing how he sees things. We can say, well, I'm just going to protect me and mine. We're going to close up our household. We're going to get out here. We're going to do, you know, we leave everybody else alone. We're just going to be okay. Me and my household, us four and no more. But he said, not if you looking like him and you seeing like him. When you begin to see like him, your heart will begin to have compassion for them that don't have what you have. And you know they should have it. Amen. And that they deserve more than what they have. More in store for all of them. Amen. And they need the same Jesus that got you what you got is the same Jesus that they need. So why are we going to hold on to Jesus? No, we got to tell people about him. Now look what Jesus done. He says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were what? Fainting, and they were what? Scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now he described them as fainted and scattered abroad. In the New American Standard, it said they were distressed and dispirited. In the NIV, it says they were harassed and helpless. I'm here to tell you, there's a whole lot of folks in Cincinnati that meet that condition requirement right there. They're being harassed and they're helpless. Look, I just see some things in the news. I'm not going to go talk about it out here, but we got sisters. I mean, we got one sister in this city who is a preacher of the gospel. She's going through all kind of hell. And look, I'm here to tell you, y'all just got to open up your eyes because look, we got some principalities working in this city and some powers, some rulers of darkness over this area. Amen. And I'm telling you, man, it's going to take a God-fearing people. Amen. The apostle we were with yesterday, she said she about ready to get the nerve to go down there and tell Mayor Cranley, look, this ain't going to no longer be called the Queen City. Let's call it the King City. I said, my God, sister, I'm with you. Whenever you're ready to go down to sign me up, we'll go tell them. Amen. And she is saying that there has to be a change in the environment over this city. Amen. There has to be a change. And it's going to start with the people of God. We got to be able to see like he sees and have the compassion that he has because people are out there helpless. I know what you're saying, Pastor, my whole house all bucked up and tore up. How can I go fix somebody, help somebody else? Nah, when you go do that, he'll take care of your household. See, you can't really straighten out your thing. He the one got to straighten it out anyway. Maybe that might be the problem. You're trying to straighten it out. When he said, now you got to give that thing to me, amen. Give it unto me, amen. You start worrying about it, amen, because I ain't worrying about it, amen. I tell you, man, stop trying to figure out what only God can work out, amen. Hallelujah. We trying to figure this thing out. Now he said he's going to work it out. He's going to work it out, him. But it says, so we see his ministry, but then we see his moment. He had a moment. And his moment was when he saw these multitudes. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And what I'm saying us to is that when you see his ministry in his moment, it really moves you into his motivation. What was his motivation? His motivation was souls. His motivation was souls. That was his motivation. He was doing ministry and he seen these multitudes. His motivation was souls. Let me tell you how much it's about souls. It's even bigger than casting out a devil. I done cast out devil. So what a cast out? Who cares about a devil being cast out? The devil got to get out so he can get in. But we ain't going to waste our time on no demons and no devils. We ain't going to major in that. Amen. We majoring in soul winning. And so if the devil is in the way, that's a minor thing. Look, you got to get out. We're going to evict you. We ain't going to major on the devil. No, we're going to major on God. And that's winning souls. We ain't going to be around here where we the top demon casters out in the county. What is that about? You can cast a demon out of someone, they still ain't saved. And then it says, if you don't get them filled up real soon, they'll go away. That demon will go away and say, look, I'm tired out here in the desert. I'm going back to find that same house that I was in. And he said, when I get back in there, I'm going to be stronger than I was when I was in there the first time. So when we cast something out, something got to get in. And it's called the power of the Spirit of the living God. And we do it by sharing the gospel, the love with them, and the gospel of our good news. The Lord said, I'm going to show you this. We're going to finish here, but I'm going to show you this. You remember when they were in Luke, he sent out his 12, and then he sent out the 70. The 70 come back, Brother Frank, they come back and said, woo, even the devils are subject unto thy name. He said, stop getting excited. I seen Satan fall out of heaven like lightning. What he was saying was, that boy's already a defeated foe. And then it says, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. But down at the end, he told him this. He says, now, don't get excited. Don't get all caught up in demons. But he says, rejoice that their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice that they're saved. That's what he's saying. I'm telling you, man, the blessing of soul winning is saving a soul. Seeing a soul get saved. That's a blessing to this thing. And Jesus, he had his ministry and he had his moment. When you have your moment, it will reveal your motivation. When you have your moment. He had his moment, and his moment was that he seen the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion. And so that became his motivation. How do I get those multitudes? How did I do it? He goes on to say, because again, it moves unto his motivation. And his motivation is what? It's all about souls. Somebody says it's all about souls. Look what he says in verse 37. Then saith he unto who? His disciples. The harvest truly is what? Plenty is, but what? The labors are few. So now he's talking about the harvest. He said, man, the harvest is plenteous.
We know we can go over to John 4, and I said this at the beginning of the service and announcements when I was up here talking. What he says, don't say, yeah, there's four more months. But raise your head. The fields are already ripe to harvest. Don't wait on it. Go on and do it now. The Bible says, now faith is. We ain't talking about tomorrow or yesterday, but now. So when I do it, it's going to be what? Now. If I do it tomorrow, it's going to be what? Now. Faith is always present tense. It's now. Now faith is. And so when we step out here to do it, it's always going to be now, man, now. And you know what I told you about faith? Faith brings your future to your present. That's what faith will do. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is what? The substance of things what? Hope for, evidence of things not seen, amen. But with my faith, brother, with my faith, I can bring, amen, the future to my present. Not only that, I can bring heaven to the earth with my faith. Amen. My faith can bring heaven to. That's why our Father, when I pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed it be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it what is in heaven. And look, because I'm praying and my faith is, when I go to pray, my faith is in the Father. And when I go in Jesus' name because my faith is in Jesus. And Jesus, if you have faith in me, look, if you're going to have faith, amen, have faith in God. And so I come to the Father in Jesus' name because that's the way he told me to come. And I'm exercising my faith. And when I do that, guess what? I can bring heaven into the earth through my faith, through my praying and going to God. But not only that, not only can I bring my future to my present and I can bring heaven to the earth, I can bring the supernatural into the natural. Oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? With my faith. And when you're out there in those streets, amen, you need the supernatural out there. You need to bring the future, amen, to the present. You need to bring heaven into the earth when you're out there. I'm telling you. And then you'll walk away and them folks will say, what manner of man is this? You hear me? They'll say the same thing they said about Jesus. Oh my God, I don't know if y'all excited about this thing, but you got to know I am. Amen. And I've come to realize if the leader ain't excited about it, you can forget about everybody else up under the house being excited about it. So I here to tell you, I'm going to be excited about this thing. Hallelujah. Because his ministry is my ministry. His motivation is my motivation. Look, I've had the same moment that he had. When I look, I cut on that news and just look, man, I'm telling you, it does something to me. It does something to me. And I always ask God, how can we reach them all, God? How can we, Lord, how can we reach those that you have given unto us? How can we do it, God? I thank God for the media and I thank God for all of those types of things. But I'm telling you, boy, that I said it earlier, this leather got to hit the pavement, amen. We got to cut across their path. Look what Jesus said, verse 37. He said, then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. See, this is his movement now. What's his movement? To capture the harvest. He said, I got to have a movement. I got to get the harvest. How am I going to get the harvest? This leads to his method. Look what he tells the boys. Verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I believe he already said it. He said, I'm already in it. And I already know what it looked like. And he tell them, he said, now y'all pray to the Lord. You know what I believe he was doing? He said, y'all need to go on and pray unto the Lord. Because the Lord getting ready to use you. This is the revelation of it. In order for him to reach the multitudes, he was going to have to multiply. Now, he didn't go down the street, round the corner and pick up some folk. He didn't go to the temp service. You hear what I'm saying? He didn't go any of those places. He used those folks that was with him. He used those disciples. He said, now, I need y'all, look, I need y'all to pray. Y'all go pray. Y'all pray unto the Lord of the harvest that he might, and maybe that's what y'all doing. Maybe some of y'all folks are praying. Lord, God send pastor somebody else that can go out him to win souls. We hear our pastor crying. We hear his voice. We know that he want to win souls, but Lord, send somebody, Lord. See, what you got to realize, that person he is sending, he already sent. And it's you.
It's you. He said, now y'all going on and pray. Y'all ain't even got to invite me to the prayer meeting. Y'all go ahead on and pray to the Lord of the harvest. Because when you pray to the Lord of the harvest, he going to tell you it's you. Now look what he does up the next chapter. Look what he does in 10 and 1. Look, I'm going to show you this. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast. Now, I thought he told them to go pray. He did. After they got through praying, he said, come on, let me commission you now. Because you done got your flesh unchecked because you done went to the Father and humbled yourself. Now you're ready. And now I'm getting ready to commission you to go out. You 12, you're going out, and I want you to go out to them. I want you to go. I want you to do what I did. He gave them power for unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Look at verse 7. He says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, and freely you have given. He released them to go out and do ministry. So this is his method. His method is for his disciples, his pupils, his followers. And see, you're not following me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. That's, we all following the man. Amen. That's who we're following. We're all following the man. And so follow me. That's how Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so if we're going to take this thing to a movement, we got to recognize, first of all, that this is his ministry. Every ministry in this house, every ministry leader, you hear me today, every person that participates in ministry in here, ain't none of this yours. Amen. Ain't none of this yours. And the minute you start thinking that any of this is yours, you're on the wrong side of the ledger. You're on the wrong side. This is his ministry. And those that as the leadership of this house, if I've placed someone over the ministry, that's delegated authority. And if they start bullying you around, they on the wrong side of the ledger. Come see your pastor. Amen. Because when this house grows, amen, it has to be a reflection of him. I can't have nobody over here doing their own thing. And you over here doing your own, calling it your ministry. Amen. Nah, this is about him. And see, if this thing is going to grow, it's going to have to be about him. See, because when I'm not around, you got to understand he always going to be around. And we're not trying to please me. We're trying to please him. We're trying to please him. And so this thing going to multiply when I multiply. What do you mean when I multiply? When I multiply the plurality, and we've done that, and we're going to do that some more. We're going to lay hands on some folk this year and set them apart as leaders in this house, amen, so that we can continue to expand this thing. What you talking about, Pastor? Well, if you go over, you won't need to turn there, but it's there, Acts chapter 6. You know this. It says that there was a lot of murmuring and complaining going on in the church because the widows weren't getting their food, amen. Hey, boy, I'm missing my meal. What them boys say? What in the heck going on around there? They ain't getting what I'm supposed to be getting. But the Bible says that the apostle said, he said, Get the people together. I ain't talking about he won't talk about again the temporary agency. He won't talk about them down the street around the corner. He said, no, gather them together, gather the saints together. And then he says, out of them choose 7 men of what good report, of honest, full of faith. He has some requirement for them. You couldn't be sinning. You can't sin and talk about you want to be a leader in the house of God. You can't even sin and talk about serving in the house of God. See, aren't you lucky these jobs that you work on, they ain't got no criteria for you living a righteous life. You can be living any way you want to as long as you punching that clock and doing your job. But it's different in the house of God. God looking for some holy and righteous people because he got people that out there that's lost that need to come to his house. And if they see unrighteousness, they're going to say, well, I guess this is how we're supposed to live. I guess this is how God is and his house is. The devil is a liar. We got to live holy and righteous life. We can do this thing right. We can do it right. We can do this thing right. And what I'm saying to you, we got to understand that this is his. Every bit of it is here. Don't be trying to block folk out. I remember when we moved. Baby, you remember that we moved from the hotel and I did a switcheroo. It was some, I moved some folks around and one brother got mad with me. Yes, sir, he called a meeting with me because I heard the Lord say, take him off of there and move him over there. That brother got upset with me and eventually left the ministry. And that was the root of it because it had become his and it wasn't God's.
And if the leader going to tell you, I need you to do something, you don't buck up to your leader and tell the leader of the house of God, have you become God? Oh, I'm preaching. I know I'm preaching right now. I'm laying some highway to where we're going. Don't you hold on to this stuff that is yours. God want to move you so you can grow up. We get in certain places, want to hold on to stuff. Now, God needs you to move. He needs you to move. And I'm here to tell you, man, God ready to do something in everybody. You got to loose your grip of what you got hold of so you can do what God wants you to do. Do what God wants you to do. Because you got to understand, see, amen. Baby, how the pastor that came here the other year that did the, what did Sir Pastor Sorrell say? Yeah, he said, yeah. He said, it's all right when you got good enough. He said, yeah, it's all right when you got good enough. But when well able show up, good enough got to move to the side. It don't mean you kick them out the ministry. No, we thank God you were good enough, but God done increased the thing. We got well able in the house now, and well able got to get there, and good enough got to move out of the way. But I'm telling you, it's going to take some humility for you to humble yourself and say, there's somebody better than I got to move out of the way. And it don't mean that you've been disqualified or put out. It's the, God got a blessing for you. Oh, my God. I'm stretching. Y'all don't know. I'm stretching y'all right now. I'm telling you, you better get ready, get ready, get ready. Amen. You got to get ready, get ready. See, this is his ministry. And even as a pastor, he reminds me from time to time, this is my ministry, pastor. I said, Lord, but you don't know these folks biting and complaining. They want this and why ain't we got that? He said, nah, you need to teach them. This is my ministry. It's his ministry. And if you got any problems with the ministry, go talk to him. Amen. Before you come see me. Amen. Make sure you done talk to him. I don't mind you coming to see me. But if you ain't talked to him, I know what you're coming in. You're coming in your flesh. You're coming with your feelings. You're coming with, oh, ow, I've been hurt, pastor. Nah, you better go talk to the Lord. And when you come to me, we're going to talk to the Lord together. Because we're going to get through this thing. Amen. I'm telling you, we're going to get through this thing. Hallelujah. So this is his ministry. And because it's his ministry, we got to come to that point in our lives where we have the same moment that he has. That we can see like he sees. And have a compassion for not only those that are out there, but even compassion with one another in here. You all know we say in this house, if we don't cross the aisles, they'll never walk them. If we don't cross the aisles, I don't care how big this place gets, we're going to always cross the aisles. We don't do nothing but turn around and hug on two or three people, give them high five. We're going to do that. Amen. We're going to do that. But we got to have his motivation. And when we get his motivation, amen, it'll turn into a movement. That's what I want. I want a movement. I want to have a movement that I can't even control. I can't even organize. You hear what I'm saying? I can't. We just got to trust the Holy Ghost. You hear what I'm saying? To move this thing, amen, and let it become a movement. And when it becomes a movement, man, it'll go out and reach people that we never thought we could reach because it has turned into a movement. It stopped being about a man, a man, or ministry. It has become all about him. And when it's all about him, it's going to be all about them. Amen. I'm telling you, I believe in God. Some of y'all folks that's working on jobs you don't want to be on. Now, you hear me? Y'all that want to be where you're at, you stay where you're at. Amen. Amen. But when this thing come the way it want to, I know that's some faithful folk here. There's some folk that's doing stuff that ain't even got a ministry position in this house. There's some faithful folk. There's folks God done put in my heart. I say, God, you got to move this thing. You move it, God, because I see all of them in full-time ministry. I see all of them not worried about going to that job, and you're going to pay them what they deserve. You're going to pay them well to do what you called them to do. Now, all of y'all out there on your job, now you want to stay out there. Now, you stay out there where you're at. Because the first one coming off the job is going to be the pastor. You count on that. We ain't going to get everybody else off the job, and I'm still out there. I ain't got nothing to prove out there. I done got my plaque, T-shirt, amen, certificates. I done got all that I needed out there. Just say the word, Lord. Just say the word. I'm gone. Amen. Hey, ain't nothing out there. I'm gone, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this method is going to be through all of us. If he took 12 men and one of them was, you know, yeah. He took those 11 and they changed the whole world. This is the way they said it. We're going to close here. Come on up, Master. This is what they did. You remember over in the book of Acts, Paul and them was in there and they got Jason and those boys because the city was in an uproar. Jason brought the man of God in there. I said, come on up in here. And the Bible says that these men, it was Paul and them, that these men have turned the city or the world upside down. See, this is what you must understand. The world is upside down. He wants us to come and bring it right side up. That's what our role is. And then he said they come preaching saying there is another king. Oh, my God, there is another king. And his name is King Jesus. If you would, stand to your feet. Let's put our hands together and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.